Good morning, Church. Today's reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 18. This is on page 1219 of the Church Red Pew Bibles. Suffering for doing good. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who seek maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed for the slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He has put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Raphael. So just as we were worshipping, I was reminded, as we were singing that song about Christ chasing us down, this morning, we have a team of people worshipping just like we are, from here in Brixton Prison, leading the service there, bringing good news to the men in Brixton Prison. And at the moment, we're doing that a lot. We're sharing that with a church called Holy Trinity Clapham. And they were in there but last week. We're in there this week because the chaplain there isn't well. So we're leading a lot of the services. However, I did ask originally to do last week's service. And if you know me, you'll know I'm quite a big rugby fan. And in 25 minutes, England's first game in the Rugby World Cup final starts. So this sermon's going to take about 2 minutes, and then we're all going to be straight out the door. No, so what I actually said to the Holy Trinity Clapham guys, when the rota came out, and I, of course, had that date carved in stone in my diary, I said, "Don't worry, we'll take the 15th. You guys do the 22nd. And they said, "Fine." Then they came back to me and said, actually, the 22nd is our Vision Sunday. So would you guys mind doing the 22nd, and then we'll do the 15th? And I thought, you can't really argue. But then I got the Brixton team to agree that they'd do it and that I wouldn't be part of the team today. This was still, and then when I was on holiday, Jonathan wrote to me and said, "Would you speak on the 22nd of September?" And at that point, I was on holiday, I was by a pool, and I thought, I'd love to speak, but I didn't look in my diary. I know September's pretty good, I'd love to speak. And about a week later, I looked and I thought, how have I missed that? So I want to encourage you all this morning that in the sovereignty of God, he definitely wanted me to speak to you this morning. And genuinely, actually, I do feel like God spoke about one particular thing that I really do want to share with you. But in thinking about that, as we were worshiping, we were singing that song, "He Chases Me Down." I feel like he's chasing some of you down today. Okay, and is that not a fantastic picture? He is coming off. I mean, as Jifa, as I heard your testimony, you know, it just, he chased you down. You know, he didn't want you to live like that, to live in that, you know, with that kind of identity stuff going on. He wanted you to know he's your daughter and he loves you. So he chased you down to get you to know that. And there's people here today, you might not know him well at all, but he is chasing you down. So as we look at that passage, I'm going to take my jacket off, but don't worry, it will just stop there. I'm going to take my jacket off because I am wearing a Park Run t-shirt. And I don't know if I might say, because this week I got my 100, so I've done 100 park runs. Now, for those of you anoraks like me who really love Park Run is a 5K free run in a park near you every Saturday morning, takes place at 9 a.m. So I've now done 100 of them. It's been going 15 years since 2004, and last Saturday morning, there were probably about 250,000 people in the UK running 5K. And, you know, that in 15 years, that is extraordinary growth. When my kids do it, they comment, "Dad, it's just like church. I mean, look at it. Everybody gets there. They're always appealing for volunteers to set up and break down, do the coffee afterwards." And then, you know, they have some notices at the start, just before you do the run, a little bit of health and safety stuff going on there. And it is very much just like church. But one of the things that has really really challenged me about it is they've got a lot of young people coming to doing park runs. Okay, and actually the church, not true here, actually we've got an incredible group of and an amazing church, but the church nationally really could do with some of the growth that Park Run is seeing. In 15 years, 0 to 250,000 people. But we're not seeing that as a church nationally. And that's part of my job, is kind of working with the Church of England around that and around how can we share the good news of Jesus. And there was a little bit of research done about why people will go to Park Run, but they won't go to church. I mean, a direct comparison. And the main issue that came out at the end, the reason that somebody would go to Park Run, and I invite so many people to do Park Run. I mean, you know, if I got as many people to come to church as I got to go to Park Run, you know, the church would be be a bit healthier than it is. So why do we have that? That's what this research looked at. And the key issue was that Park Run is good for you. Okay, running 5K is good for you. I hate Park Run. I mean, it's ironic that I hate getting up early on a Saturday. It affects my whole night. I have to drink water all night. But at the end of the day, I do know it is good for me. And the truth is, Jesus really is good for you profoundly. But somehow we lack the understanding that that's true. And other people, most people here probably know that really is true at a level way beyond how good a 5K run is for you. Teresa's testimony really told us, I mean, that's why, in a nutshell, why Jesus is good for you. What a situation for her to face, but Jesus in that gives her strength and courage. And ultimately, Jesus, Teresa, like all of us, knows she's got eternity looking Jesus face to face. Now, that is good for you to know that. But somehow in life, we lack the confidence to explain that and to invite people. And also, people don't, and we tell people, but they don't come. Now, that's the bit that troubles me the most. And those are the questions I want to look at today in response to, in looking at this passage. So why do we lack the confidence? And also, why don't people respond? I'm going to give you three R's in response to that, okay? And the first is revere. So the passage actually, and we're particularly really in this passage, I can't do justice to the whole passage. I'm just going to focus on verse 15. Okay, so verse 15 says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Now, if you ever hear the word evangelism, I don't know what response that evokes in you. For me, it evokes a slight, it brings up a slight guilt. Just as I was telling you, I'm happier to invite people to Park Run than I am happy to invite them to church or tell them about Jesus. Because I get that slight contradiction between I want to tell them, but I know it doesn't always work and I'm not very good at it. And that makes me feel guilty. And this passage is often used as a bit of that verse is often used to get us thinking about, well, you need a better argument. So particularly the always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So get your apologetics right, get some arguments ready so that you can be ready to explain that to people. But the most important bit of that verse is actually the bit that precedes it, because that bit assumes somebody asks you the question. It says to give an answer. And that assumes that actually somebody's going to ask you a question about the hope that you have. Why would they ask you a question about the hope that you have? Because of the very beginning of the verse, that in your hearts you have revered Christ as Lord. So sometimes the NIV seems to put revere Christ as Lord. In our passage that we read out, it says set apart Christ as Lord. And that's the first. If we do that, and if we are always doing that, that changes things, and that leads to people asking us the questions. Okay, and I've heard it said you could sum up the whole Bible, if there was a slogan, three words for the Bible, it would be Jesus is Lord. Okay, and as we in our hearts make Jesus Lord, Jifa kind of talked through brilliantly actually how she's done that about her identity, about clothes, about academic success. But on each of those things, in her heart, she was starting to say, I've got to make Jesus Lord of my identity. Yep, I'm bright. God's given me those talents. But I'm going to make Jesus Lord of that. In my heart, I'm setting apart academic success to make Jesus Lord there. I'm setting apart the clothes I wear to make Jesus Lord. And when we do that, people will see something different about you and they'll go, why do you do that? Why is it that you do that? It is a response to setting apart Jesus as Lord, bringing your life increasingly under the rule of God. And I think if we do that, when we do that, we start confronting the culture that's around us. We've got a bunch of people in Brixton Prison today. What an incredible thing to do. That, you know, working with some of those folks, incredibly disadvantaged people, if you do go into Brixton Prison, it will make you very sad, really, that people who've not had much of a shout in life. If you do that, will make people, well, why would you do that? Well, because we think there is hope for those people, and there is change and power in the gospel for all those people. And you know what? They're the same as me. They're sinners, they need forgiveness, and they're the same. So that can provoke they're sinners just like me. And that can provoke people to ask a question. And in doing that, when we make Christ Lord in our hearts, it will make good people wish what we believed is true. I'll repeat that. And that's often our goal. We want to make good people wish what Christians believed was true. If they don't believe it at the moment, they wish that, you know what, and when people say, you know, it's great what you guys do, I just can't believe in the God bit, that's a good start. They're kind of thinking, you know, I love what you stand for and who you are, and they'll wish it was true. But to all of you, so that's the first thing, is set apart Christ as Lord. So revere means greatly respect or admire. So we're in our hearts, we're greatly respecting and admiring Christ. We're putting that uppermost in our heart. Okay? And then when we've done that, people will ask you questions. We need then the second R, which is respond. We need to provide an answer. And when we're bringing things daily under the rule of God, people will ask questions. It is attractive when people do that, when they do that daily. So I want to ask you a few questions. And I think the risk is, as Christians, I've been a Christian since 1988. That is a long time. And the risk is that my questions are all from my answers about the difference that Jesus makes in my life are all from 1988. And that isn't very compelling. So what difference has Jesus made for you this week? What difference has Jesus made for you this week? What is distinctly Christian about your work? What is distinctly Christian about the work that you do? Because God will give you, you know, because of the, you know, I'd say because of this verse, really, he gives you an opportunity at work to do stuff in ways that are distinctly Christian. So I have a bishop I work with who really pushes this, and it's really helpful all the time to say, whatever we do, what is distinct? So what's distinctly Christian about our church? What's distinctly Christian about the barbecue we're going to do afterwards? Now, I think I'll answer that for Jonathan. It's outside so that everybody can see it. It's out there so that everybody see it. And it's free. And the food will be unusually good for a free barbecue. But what is distinctly Christian about your job? What's distinctly Christian about some of the major relationships in your life? Okay, so... And, you know, then you'll have, if you can answer those questions, you'll be able to give answers to other people about the difference that Jesus makes and the hope that you have. But they have to be questions you're thinking about in the present. Our family lived in Atlanta for 5 years. And when we were there, because we were well aware we were Brits in the southern states and felt very different. We would regularly celebrate the 5th of November with fireworks. And if we could, we'd like to, don't take this the wrong way, I love the Catholics, but we'd like to burn a ceremonial Catholic on the, because that's what happens on fireworks day with the what do we call him? Guy, so with the guy. So, you know, we just wanted to do something that really reminded us of being British, of being English. And we did it with another English family, set off the firework, and it really reminded us of home. And other people, when they'd see that, we'd tell them, well, this is something, but you can say from the Americans, really, I mean, you burn a Catholic, that does sound a little bit... It sounds a little bit strange, but it made them ask questions of us. And that's how we're to be as Christians, that when people see us, they see that we belong to this strange community called All Saints Peckham. It's actually a wonderful community. And we do these things like fireworks night, like, you know, we do something like the barbecue, you know, we do Christmas. There are various, you know, things that we're known for. And people see that and it makes them ask questions. They're things that then make people, they're reminders to us that bring the aroma of Jesus, that give people a taste of what it means to live under God's rule. And under God's rule, not the iron rule of sin and death. Because that's the alternative. Okay, they'll see what freedom looks like. We sang some great songs this morning, didn't we, about freedom. And, you know, that the alternative is being slaves to sin. and having no answer to death. So when people see us, they get that taste of another kingdom, and they see that. So the second R is respond, be able to answer people's questions. People often quote various people as saying that, you know, preach the gospel at all times, but and sometimes use words. Broadly, I'd say that isn't very helpful. Always use words. I mean, use a lot of words about Jesus. We don't have enough people talking about Jesus. So be ready to give. And don't think that, you know, the risk of this passage and what you hear me saying today is it's all about leading a lifestyle that provokes people to ask questions. Also, be ready to give an account for the hope you have. The number of times I've got to say where people have suddenly said something to me about being a Christian and I just wasn't ready. You know, you just thought afterwards, I had a great response of something to say, but I wasn't ready. So do use words, but make sure, and they are, again, at the end of verse 15, they are gentle and respectful. And that is, something the church can speak into everything that's going on in our country at the moment about responding with gentleness and respect. So about our own theology, about things we believe about identity, but we can always do it with gentleness and respect. You know, disagree well if you want to disagree with somebody. So that's the second R, respond. And then the final R is an R you don't hear very much at the moment, which is repent. So repent means change your mind. And, you know, to get to my, probably something I struggle with most in my kind of walk is why don't more people respond to the good news of Jesus when we talk to people about that? And I think a lot of that is about we have not, in our hearts, we haven't set apart Jesus as Lord. It's not a daily thing. And therefore, it doesn't provoke people to ask. I think that is a big part of the answer to that. But another part of the answer to that is Blaise Pascal, who is an extraordinary 17th century mathematician, but also a bit of a theologian. He talked about how sin stops people seeing God. I mean, it's that simple. You know, that actually when we do stuff wrong, when in our sin, and if you're here today and you don't know God, I'm bluntly going to say to you that, like me, before you're forgiven by Jesus, it means you won't fully understand. You'll get glimpses of what God's like, but sin will stop you seeing him. So in Romans 3:11 says, there's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. So our sin does cause a separation between us and God. And verse 18 of the passage we're looking at today says Christ can bring you to God. And if we read that, because Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So if you don't know God, Blaise Pascal also said that when we don't know God, whatever we believe, we're really good at developing arguments to support what we believe. So I'm going to suggest to you that you don't believe in Christ and you're really good at developing arguments to support why you don't. Now, my daughter's a vegan and she did a chemistry degree, and I'm getting quite nervous that she might be right about the whole vegan, environmental, we're destroying the world thing. But I really like meat. So at the moment, I am working really hard on my arguments about eating meat and consumption generally. But, you know, and that's because I want to defend my position. Okay, and that's a great thing. So we were doing Alpha as a church. So we'd love you, or, you know, come along and give your position. But I'll suggest to you that Blaise Pascal was right. We come up with arguments to support what we want to believe is true. And the Bible says you can't see God because of sin. So you're going to produce arguments that support stuff that isn't true. And only when you accept Christ will you see who he is and begin to understand what he's like. And repentance is the beginning of that. It means changing your mind about something, turning and going the other way. So if you don't know Jesus, I'd encourage you this morning, for the first time, as that verse 15 says, set apart Jesus Christ as Lord in your heart. and see the difference that that makes. Set apart. And if you are a Christian, just do that today about some other areas in your life. Okay, I did feel as I was preparing, whether it's money, relationships, work, you know, God is encouraging us to set apart Jesus Christ as Lord in those areas today. What does it mean to bring your work under the rule of God? But if you don't know Jesus, there's a chance for you now to set apart in your heart Jesus as Lord for the first time and see the difference that makes. I also dropped off my daughter at university yesterday. It's quite a sad moment, ironically with another young person from this church. And at the moment you wave them goodbye, which is a very sad moment, I was also so aware what a great thing is both those young people know Jesus. I tell you, as you wave goodbye, it's very sad, but I've got more confidence in what they believe than any other kind of advice I could give them, that they know Jesus. And to leave them as young people who might make some mistakes, but they know Jesus, that is a rock that they can stand on whilst they're away with other people. And, you know, so knowing what you believe, I can't recommend it enough. I can't encourage you enough about a belief system, you know. But the trouble is, at the centre of that belief system, it's not a trouble, it's a great thing, is this person, Jesus. And if you don't believe in him, you don't have that rock on which to stand. So if the band don't mind coming back up, if that's what we were thinking of, I think, I'd encourage you to respond to any of the three R's, okay? So I thought there might be people who want to, you know, these might be Christians who want to revere, to set apart Christ as Lord in an area of their life, be that work, so that you've got that testimony right here, right now, of what God's doing for this week. Might be work, might be a relationship, might be about money, might be about your health. Let Jesus, what does it look like for Jesus to rule over that, set apart Christ as Lord over that issue? Okay, so that's the first. The second was people who need to be braver about giving a response when people ask you about Jesus. That confidence in the gospel, that God wants to help you give that response. And then the third is people who want to repent and accept Jesus and set apart their hearts to make him Lord for the first time. So why don't we stand? I'm just going to pray. There'll be people here who can pray for you if you'd like to come forward for ministry, but I'm going to pray for those three things and then we'll throw ourselves into worship. But if anybody from the ministry team wants to come down to the front here, that would be great. I'd love to pray with anybody who wants to pray about any of those three areas. Father, thank you that you are Lord, that Jesus is Lord, that there's no greater rock on which to build our lives. And Lord, I pray for everybody here that you'd pour out your Spirit on us now so that we would set apart you as Lord over different areas of our lives as you're speaking to people, so that you'd give people confidence to respond to questions and to lift up the name of Jesus. And then if there's anybody here, Jesus, who doesn't know you, you are chasing them down as you chase me down to give this talk this morning. Lord, you're chasing them down. Would you in your grace and mercy help them respond to you? Help them come forward and declare they want to know Jesus for the first time. They want to set apart Christ as Lord in their hearts. Amen.